Good morning, everybody. Is anybody like me and could have just stayed in that moment for a real long time? Right. So this morning I wasn't sure if there was DBK on, so I brought a story to read, but I'll read it to the grown-ups instead of the kids. Because it's a good story. It's called Tonight in the Palace, and it's about going to visit a king. If you were going to visit a king, if you were going to visit King Charles, what sort of things do you think might happen? You have to be the kids for me since there's no kids. You'd get dressed up? Yeah? Oh, they're going to listen to the story? Oh, gracious. It's a very dramatic audience. Okay. Not sure where to go from here. So if you were going to visit the king, you probably wouldn't be wrestling on the ground. You'd probably be on your very best behaviour. Donna's a great teacher, just in case anybody's worried. Okay, so tonight in the palace, says it was late at night and all the sheep were in their beds and fast asleep. They snuggled up while Cecil snored. When out of heaven an angel soared. "Wake up, sheep, wake up," he said. "Stop your dreaming, get out of bed. Listen, sheep, good news I bring. In Bethlehem is born a king. He's cute, he's cuddly, he's £9.10. So what are you waiting for? Visit him then. Visit the king, that'll be fine. Tonight in the palace we're going to dine. We'll start with pavlova, then peacock eggs fried. With fancy fresh mushrooms piled up on the side. Load up on lobster, dunk in the dips. Bypass the salad and pig out on chips. Then finally finish with a small minty thing. That's what you eat in the house of the king. With stomachs rumbling, they leapt out of bed, charged over the hill. Then Cecil said, "Visit the king, way to go. Royalty throw a spectacular show. There'll be jugglers and jesters and gymnasts galore, sword swallowers, fire eaters. But wait, there's more. Trev and the bad boys blasting out tunes, while deadly dirt bikes are ridden by hoons. Then fireworks shot from the boat in the moat, because that's how a king gets the popular vote. Down the Bethlehem Road, they run at a trot, when Cecil yells out, "Hey fellas, guess what? Visit the king, this'll be neat. Think of the people we're going to meet. The Belgian ambassador, the Sultan of Malta, the Olympic swim team, and a pole vaulter. We'll dance the night away with Princess Natasha. She's style, she's elegant, she's an absolute smasher. With the beautiful people we'll be mingling, because that's who you meet in the house of the king. Down the Bethlehem Road, around all the bends, when Cecil called out to all of his friends, "Visit the king, this'll be ace. King always lives in a big fancy place. We'll slide down the banisters, swing from the drapes, splash in the bath, swim in the lakes, slouch in the beanbags, skate down the hall, sneak out the back, then when we've done it all..." "Sleep in four-poster beds with plenty of spring. That's where one sleeps, in the house of the king. But in Bethlehem they wandered around, the king and his palace nowhere to be found. Then Meredith said, "Here's some suggestions. Let's go to the pub and ask for directions." Notice Meredith's a lady. The publican listened to what the sheep said, scratched his beard, then shook his head. "I don't know no palace and I don't know no king. But that Princess Natasha, she's a pretty young thing. We don't do pavlova. Besides, you're too late. We've run out of schnitzel and the chef knocked off at 8. I ain't got no room and I ain't got no bed. Heck, that last couple that rocked up, I put in the shed. Visit the king? Why'd we come all this way? Let's head out to the back and crash on the hay. Out in the shed with this bloke and a lady. There goes our sleep. She's holding a baby. Then those things grizzle and howl and cry. But then he's cute. He's cuddly. He's 9 pound 10. It was late at night, snuggled up with the sheep. The newborn king was fast asleep. Little Ace, do you reckon you know who that king might have been? Do you know who they went to visit? Jesus, that's right. That's who our story was about. And that's who we're going to talk about today, because Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Thanks for listening. Did everyone like that story? It's a very cool story, I think. So when we think about Christmas, sometimes we can be a bit like Cecil the sheep and get confused by what we think Christmas is all about. We can get sidetracked by presents and food and decorations and parties. We can be disappointed by finances, family arguments, and fairly ordinary gifts. Just like Cecil's ideas about the birth of the king were not quite right, we might need to step back and re-look at what Christmas, the birth of our king, is all about. So I'm going to read you the Christmas story from Luke, chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 26, goes for quite a long time, but I wanted us to get it all. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And then Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a pretty spectacular story, isn't it? It's even better than the story of Cecil going to visit the king, because it's a true story. So Jesus wasn't born in a fancy palace. There was no great feast. There were no peacock eggs or fresh mushrooms on the side. He wasn't born in a fancy palace or even in a nice hospital, but he was born in a messy stable. He didn't have a perfect family to celebrate his birth. He had a mother who wasn't married when she became pregnant. His first visitors were shepherds. They weren't in the highest class of society. They were kind of rated just above the lepers. So they were way down the totem pole. And I've been thinking about that over the last few weeks, that Jesus had such a messy birth. He had a messy death. And when you think about it, there was lots of messy things in between those times. Now in Isaiah it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." And you can find that verse again in Matthew when Jesus is born. So Jesus is Emmanuel, he's God with us. And he's not just God with us on our good days, when we have it all together, when the house and the garden are all clean and tidy, when you've lost a few kilos and you fit into your best outfit, when you've prepared a meal that tastes great, it's low on cost and it's low on calories, the kids are on their best behaviour, you've had a great day at work, you've read your Bible, you've spent time in prayer, sat in God's presence and told someone about Jesus. Does anyone have a really good day like that? Has anyone ever had a day like that? No, if I can tick off two or three of those things, then I think I've had a good day. You know, isn't it good that Jesus is with us, not just on those days? He's with us all the time. He's with us in the good, the bad and the ugly, in the messy and the mundane. He's with us when we're at home and our hearts are going crazy. He's with us in hospital when our brain's going crazy. He's with little tiny babies who don't even know that they're sick. You know, he's with us in each and every situation. He's not just with us, he also understands what it's like to be in the mess because he's been there. He's very familiar with it. He was born in the mess, he lived with it, and he died that way. He didn't just come to be with us, but he came to experience all those things that we experience. That's why he came as a little baby, so that he could grow up and experience the things that we experience. Now, Jesus had lots of things that weren't so nice. There was illegitimacy. He had a sketchy family tree, prostitutes and adulterers and all sorts of things in his family tree. He had some dodgy friends. They were tax collectors and dodgy sort of people. He dealt with sick people. He dealt with demons and hypocrites. He was betrayed and he was unrecognised. It's not exactly a stellar kind of a lifestyle, is it? I reckon he had some pretty ordinary moments and some pretty messy moments. So Jesus knows from first-hand experience what messy is all about, and he promises to be with us in our mess. He promises to walk through it with us, and he promises to bring good things out of it. Now the joy and promise of Christmas is that the miracle of Bethlehem still happens. God still enters into the reality of our messy, everyday lives and loves us. And yeah, that's something to hang on to, not just at Christmas time, but every single day of the year, that God steps into our messy lives and he loves us in the midst of those messy lives. Now, some people don't like Christmas, which kind of surprises me because I really like Christmas. Some people think it's just for kids, it's just time to get together with family, it's just time to eat lots of good food, time to spend lots of money. And some of those things are true, some of them aren't true. But we need to forget about all the stuff that goes with Christmas and get back to what it's all about. Now, personally, I enjoy Christmas decorations. I like buying presents, mostly, especially if I can find exactly the right one. I like getting presents. I like all the food. I like shortbread and Christmas cake and Christmas pudding and all those different things. But the thing that I enjoy most about Christmas is that it's the Christmas story that gives meaning to all those other things, to the Christmas tree and the fairy lights and all those things. They help us celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. So the actual essence of Christmas. And that's that, you know, Jesus came. So I think this Christmas we need to take a break from all the stuff and we need to remember why we're celebrating. And at Christmas time, I've been looking at Advent, and today's the first Sunday of Advent, and it's all about the waiting and the expectation, and it's about the coming of Jesus. I like to read stories and devotions about Christmas. There's heaps of things on the Bible app on your phone, like heaps of different Christmas things. I think I've done about half a dozen already, and it's only the 3rd of December. And I love going to church. Like, I love coming together this morning. I love singing that carol together. Just so special. I love coming to Christmas Eve, and I really love going to church on Christmas Day. And even though I've been a Christian since I was only little, I was in my 30s before I went to church on Christmas Day, which is kind of weird, isn't it? Because I know Christmas should be what we're celebrating in church. But, yeah, and I think we get so busy and, you know, we can't go to church because we've got to cook the roast or we've got to do this and we've got to do that. But I think it's really important that we stop in the middle of all that chaos and just take time to remember Jesus and to celebrate him by worshipping together. And, you know, if you can take an hour out on Christmas Eve to come and spend time with your church family and to focus on Jesus for an hour, then I think that will make a difference in your day or in your Christmas experience. So it's a time to remember and celebrate that God came to earth to be with us. He came to bring light and love, peace, hope and joy, and he came to save us. And those things are definitely worth celebrating. And, and worshipping Jesus is of way more value than eating your cauliflower cheese or Christmas pudding or whatever it might be. Because it's not just the birth of Jesus that we celebrate, is it? It's the fact that his birth was instrumental, was vital in bringing so many blessings to us. His birth means that there's someone to be with us. There's someone who understands us. There's someone who can speak light into our darkest days. Someone who speaks peace in the midst of storms. Someone who can save us. Someone who is seated at the right hand of God the Father this morning interceding for us. And if Jesus hadn't come and been born as a baby, then those things wouldn't be available to us. So, it's definitely worth stopping and thinking about those things. But, you know, we miss out if we don't go any further than the nativity scene. And I love nativity scenes. I think I counted yesterday and I've got 13 in my lounge room at the moment. Just a few. And, you know, it's a great picture. You know, you've got the little cute baby and you've got the animals and you've got the star and, and there's angels and it's a great story. And some of us would be happy if that was all there was to it, if we could just, Christmas is just this little box of the nativity scene and that's all. But the baby grew up and he was crucified on a cross. He died and rose again and now he's seated in heaven waiting to come to earth once again. This time not as a baby, this time to be recognised as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's come to rule and reign forever. When I was looking at different things that they talk about at Advent, they're talking about about Jesus coming in the first coming, and he came as a little baby. And then we talk about the second coming as when he comes to rule and reign, but the second coming is when he comes into our hearts, and that's a really important it's a really important step that we need to take, to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And then he'll come for a third time, and he'll come not just with only the shepherds knowing about him, he'll come with the whole world knowing about him. There'll be trumpets and angels and people coming out of graves, and it'll just be absolutely amazing, and we'll get to spend eternity with him. Now, I read that the number one theme in Christmas carols is come, and we sang the carol this morning, O come, let us adore him, come all ye faithful, come and behold him. All those words are in that carol. There's O come, Emmanuel, and I actually couldn't think of any other carols that had come in them, but I'm assuming that Google was right and that that come is the number one theme in carols. And I believe that this Christmas Jesus is inviting us to come. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, we have an invitation this morning to come and to spend time with him, to come and worship him, to come and find rest, to come and experience salvation, to come and find forgiveness, to come back, to come home. So this morning there are just two things that I want you to remember. Number one is that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us in every situation and every circumstance. And two, let's step back from all the added extras of Christmas and come to Jesus. Now, the story of Christmas is the story of God's relentless love for us. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that you sent Emmanuel, God with us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're not just with us on the good days or the fun days or the happy days. You're with us on the messy days, on the hard days, on the family argument days, on the days when we don't even feel like getting out of bed. You're with us in those situations and circumstances. You're with us when we're sad and lonely, when we're grieving. And Lord, you know what it's like to be in those places. You know what it's like to be missing friends or to be betrayed or to feel forgotten. I thank you that you know us, that you love us, and that you came to be born and to live amongst us so that you could know how we feel, and that you take our hand and you walk through each and every day with us if we will let you. So we want to thank you for that. We thank you that you didn't just come and stay as a baby, but that you grew up, that you died for us on the cross, that you took our sins upon you so that we could have a relationship with you that would last forever and ever. And so we thank you that you are going to come again, and that you will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the angels will announce you with trumpets, and that we get to be with you forever and ever. So we thank you for that this morning, God. And Lord, I ask that you touch our hearts, that you draw us close to you. And Lord, for those people that may not know you as their Lord and Saviour, I pray that you whisper in their ears this morning and that you say to them, come. Amen.